Ellie Weber, 9 o'clock sharp on a Tuesday morning. Tzedakah part 2. That's if you got part 1.
Okay, morning. So first of all, this morning's shiur, I'm giving the evil initials to my grandfather, whose yard site it is today, Yehoshua Menachem Ben Simcha, Max Weber, who, as it happens, was a big Baal Tzedakah in all the ways we want to discuss today. So I'm happy to give the shiur le'ilui nishmasah.
Can we mention 2 days at the same time?
Quick.
Nelson, what's your brother's name?
Yehuda Eliezer Ben Yisrael.
How's your mother? Ben Yonit for the four.
Good. Okay, so this shiur is going to be different than what we normally do, just because I felt like we should do that. Namely, this is sheer, it is a series in Sefer HaMitzvot. Most of them last week we were up to Kuf Nun Hey 195, which is a Mitzvot Tzedakah. And we did a sheer, I'm sorry, it was 2 weeks ago, I wasn't here last week. We did a sheer along the lines that we normally do, starting with Psukim, looking at interesting ideas there, going on to the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvot, and then dealing with lamdus around, you know, some of the general ideas and philosophy around Tzedakah. So, for example, one of the issues we dealt with was, into what category of mitzvah does Tzedakah fall? For example, conditional, unconditional. Right? We know that there are mitzvahs. Tefillin, I'll explain. Tefillin, you have to put on every day. Okay? It's not subject to how you're feeling, if you go to shul. Nothing. You have to put on tefillin every day. Mezuzah, ma'akeh, they're conditional. If you happen to have a house, you have to put on a mezuzah. If your house happens to have a porch high up that you could pull off, then you have, right? There are conditional mitzvahs, there are unconditional. Getting married, getting divorced. If you're in this situation, this is the way you do it. And it's a mitzvah satorah. If you're not in that situation, so then you just don't come into contact with that mitzvah.
Getting married is connected to pruv revu. I mean,
yes or no? I don't want to debate. I'm just saying. It's no chiddush to say that broadly speaking, there are mitzvahs that are conditional.
Okay.
Nobody thinks that I didn't shecht an animal today, so I was mevatel the mitzvah of shechita. Of course not. Nobody thinks I passed by a cow, walked past me, I didn't slaughter it, I did something wrong. The mitzvah is, if I want to eat meat, the way I get kosher meat is via slaughtering an animal. But it's not, you don't wake up every day and look to slaughter an animal. The question is, into what category does tzedakah fall? If it happens to be that I wake up in the morning, I never leave my house, I don't encounter any poor people, was I mevatel the mitzvah of tzedakah, or is it only the case that if I met somebody and put his hand out, and he genuinely needed the money, and I genuinely had the money, then I'm mevatel mitzvah saseh, okay? It's of course not black and white, and it's circumstantial, but that's the type of lamdus ideas that we dealt with, and it turns out, you know, both sides can be supported. I think it's clear that both sides are true. To a certain extent, it's an unconditional mitzvah. We should be actively pursuing it. We should look for it. We'll see some of that today. On the other hand, there's also a lo taaseh. Lo ta'ameitz et levavcha, meaning if somebody asks you for money and you don't give it to them, it's not kalaposhet, yeah, that's a din in Purim. In Purim, okay, let's say something just to qualify, because the issue everybody wants to talk about, I don't want to talk about, although I'll touch on, which is, how do you know the guy's legit, right? In the world we live in...
Let's presume it is. Let's make it
so. Right. In the world we live in, that's a frustration we have. But let's assume that when we talk about the mitzvah of tzedakah, we're saying we know that this person is a person in need. Okay? So we're not discussing how do you... At the end, I want to touch on that a little bit.
Are there any conditions on the amount of tzedakah?
Yes.
You give him 20 shekels, you give him 10.
Okay, that's what I want to talk about today. So let me just finish the introduction. So there's about a lamdus. We also talked about the philosophy behind it. I want to touch on that at the end also, which is the pasuk says, "Ki lo yechdal avyon mikarav haaretz." God ki'ilu is promising us that there will always be poor people, or in the double negative, there will never not be poor people. Which is a strange thing to say. It's like there's a puzzle that says, you know, there'll always be disease. God is promising me people, God forbid, will always have cancer. Like, that's a good thing? So we touched a little bit, and we'll touch more on today, I hope. What does that mean? Why does God, you know, why does God create an imperfect world? Why does God want us to fix a world? Why can't he fix it himself? But what I want to do today, just because I felt like it called for it, which we normally don't do, is halachos. As much as possible, let's go through fundamental halachos of tzedakah as practical as we can. We'll try to tie it into philosophy or lamdus, but in the end, really go through stuff in Shulchan Aruch in a way that we normally don't, to get a general sense for the halachos of tzedakah. Yes?
I think you touched on a more interesting point the last time.
Since you say today will be boring.
No, you give tzedakah very regularly, and you're a big bucks tzedakah.
Me?
You have a few bucks in your pocket. And you're going to give it to ostensibly in the morning before work, and then on your way to work, another guy holds his hand out, and you have another $5 in your pocket. It's your lunch money, and you know you can borrow from your friend at work.
Yeah.
So when he holds his hand out, you do have $5 in your pocket. It wasn't there for tzedakah. Are you over? You gave tzedakah
so
just
okay.
For the,
we just let's start. We're just starting. We'll start with the easiest thing, just so that we're very clear. A guy comes to you and says, you know, I need 20 shekel to buy lunch for my children. I need 20 shekel, and it's true, and you have 20 shekel in your pocket. Okay? Mm-hmm. If you give him the 20 shekel, it's clear you got the mitzvah saseh tzedakah. If you don't, it's clear that you were mevatel mitzvah saseh tzedakah and you were over on the lo taseh of lo tikpotz et yadcha. Okay? This is the easiest case. You know he's poor. You have the money. The money, you know, you don't need the money. It's certainly part of whatever tzedakah budget you have. Mm-hmm. To not give to him in that moment is a bitul mitzvah saseh and a lo taseh.
Even
all
2 minutes you would have given the same.
All in one. It doesn't matter. Okay, I want to touch on that, but we'll touch on it now, which is. When I said what category of mitzvah does this fall into, conditional or unconditional, I pretend like there's only two categories. But of course, this is a unique category because it's a mitzvah you can do over and over again. Mm-hmm. And like other mitzvahs in that category, bikur cholim, nichum aveilim, it is not the case. I mean, philosophically there's a difference, but practically speaking, okay, you went to a funeral in the morning. Now, you know, God forbid, your neighbor passes away. Okay? I don't think you can say, halachically, it's not like you're putter from the mitzvah of Nichum Aveilim or any of these things, because you did it once. On some level, of course, it's true, you know, you can't spend your whole life in Nichum Aveilim, B'chulin. But Eilu Dvarim She'ein Lahem Shiur, we have mitzvahs like that. And they're harder to be magdir. At some point, tefillin was like that. Just interesting to note. There's no halacha that says that tefillin is limited to when you daven. There is a connection between tefillin and shema, kesuvukshatam laot al yadcha v'yilutol tefot beninecha. But short of that, this is a good example. There was a time in which Jews wore tefillin all day. Okay? Then it swung back the other way in terms of your gufnaki and you need to have kavana. And when the rush went to Spain, there were firm Jews who didn't wear tefillin ever because they were so worried about, you know. So it swings back and forth. And within stuck also, you have to play with those ideas. But the idea is, it's not, it could be in the extreme that tzedakah is a minimum of once a day, but in all events it wouldn't be a maximum, right? Even if you decided that tzedakah was an unconditional mitzvah, it would still be conditional. It's unconditional that you have to give tzedakah every day. However, if the conditions are such that you keep meeting poor people who are genuinely in need and you have money, then you have to give tzedakah many times a day. Okay, let's start with the question.
If you go to the Kotel,
don't even bother diving. Just bring. But actually, here's a good question. if you go to the Kotel for batikin, which I used to do pretty often, so there's just the usual people lining up to, and you notice a lot of people give, you know, 10 agurot coins. I often ask myself, 10 agurot, like, what is that worth anything? Right? You know, does, can you possibly be yotzei the mitzvah of tzedakah by giving 10 agurot? So let's see as things come up. But first question first. If I ask you how much tzedakah do you have to give, what would you say? No. That's not what you would say. I know you just said it, but that's not what you would say.
Oh, it hurts.
No, but there's a number for tzedakah that everybody's 10%? Supposed to know. 10.
Yeah.
10%. Maser. It's thought of as being, we'll come to Chomish, and it's generally the idea. Where did that come from?
10% of what?
Yeah. Questions on questions. Let's assume 10% of either gross or net. I think halachically,
one second.
I will get there. You're killing me. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's come to that. Okay.
From Yaakov.
Yaakov before Yaakov. Yaakov's grandfather.
No, I thought, wait, okay.
Yaakov's grandfather.
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, Abraham, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So look on the sheet. Abraham wins the war of the four kings against the five.
Okay.
And he meets Malki Tzedek, who is the Kohen, the Kel Elyon. Yeah. And he blesses him. And then the Pasuk says, Uvaruch Kel Elyon, Abraham says, Bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asher Migain Tzarecha Biyadecha. By the way, if you ever wanted to know where the words to Magain Abraham come from, Kael Elyon, it's from this. And Magain, it's all from here. Okay? Uvaroch Kael Elyon, Hashem Migain Terech Biyadecha, Vayiten Lo Ma'aser Mikol. Avram Avinu gave a tenth to the Kohen.
Nothing to do with tzedakah. This is another obligation whatsoever.
Not clear. Poskim think it has to do with tzedakah. There was clearly no mitzvah of Ma. You know, he wasn't Jewish, Abimelech. No. There's every reason to think that it's a form of tzedakah. And then his grandson Yaakov, when he's running away from Esav, and he's at the Makom HaMikdash, and he makes a deal with God, next thing, he says, V'ha'even hazot asher samti matzeva yihyeh beit Elokim, this will be a house of God, V'chol asher titen li, and all that he gives me, presumably that means income, but okay, that's not really a halachic source, V'chol asher titen li, aser a'asrenu lach. I will give him a tenth. Now it strikes me that you could have argued that that's just an expression, right? Because we don't have a verb for "I'll give him a ninth." You know, it reads better this way. Aser asrenu lach. But when you look in the sources, everybody quotes these as sort of the most original sources or the most ancient sources for the mitzvah of tzedakah and the idea that tzedakah is a tenth. Now, if we took this seriously, then a tenth would be part of the mitzvah d'oraisa. I mean, it's a pasuk in Torah. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, you could just say, well, psukim before matan Torah don't really count as halachic sources. But if you take it, you know, you could add, if we take the idea of a tenth seriously, that there's still the next question, which is that a d'oraisa standard, or is that something that we've sort of just accepted on ourselves? So let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam, of course, is Sefer Halach. The Rambam in number 2. Hilchos Matnas Anim, Perek Zayin, Halacha Hey. We did the beginning of Perek Zayin last week. Says the Rambam, how much do you have to give? So, Ba Ha'ani Vishal De Machsoro. The Ani comes, and he asks, De Machsoro means that which he needs. Okay, so the Rambam is implying that it's a real need. And here's something we talked about last week, but it's important to remember. De machsoro does not mean, if you don't give me this, I'm going to die. De machsoro means, according to a kind of acceptable standard of living. And it's clear, and hopefully we'll see this later, that standard could shift over time.
It also can shift with the person himself.
Correct. But I agree on both points, but it's easier to talk about society as a whole. Okay? There are, you know, there was a study recently. In terms of, like, real poverty, we're doing a great job of stamping it out. There aren't people, you know, the number of people starving in the world, I'm not saying there aren't people who are, but it's fallen drastically. You know, and that relates to a whole bunch of things. Food is cheaper and it's easier to mass produce than whatever, that, you know. But it's not fit. When you ask yourself, I don't want to ruin, you know, when you ask yourself, what's a poor person? I'm not going to be able to give you a good answer. And the halacha won't be able to give you a good answer because it's not really definable. It could be that in Efrat, the definition of a poor person is different than in Bnei Brak, where people, you know, have kind of chosen to live in a form of poverty because they've chosen not to work. But what's clear is it's not, you know, like sustenance. It's not that, oh, well, the guy has food, why do I have to give him tzedakah? The answer is because it's reasonable for him to give breakfast cereal to his kids and not have them just, you know, eat lachmaniot every morning. That is day machsoro. Okay? Now again, it could be that in Africa, eating lachmaniot every morning is perfectly fine. And in Efrat, giving cereal to your kids every once in a while, you know, the standard could change. So the search for a unified standard would be frustrating to us because it will not be establishable. I think we have to assume that, you know, we know it when we see it. It's like Justice Potter used to say about pornography, which is okay for me to quote because Rav Aaron used to quote him. He said, I don't know the definition, but I know it when I see it.
I think he went to the pawn shop.
He didn't. No. So the point is, we just have to assume that we know it when we see it. So now back to the Rambam. The Rambam says, so the guy is day mafzor, it's what he needs. Ve'ein yad hanotein maseget. Now, I don't have either available to me right now or at all. Okay? The guy, let's assume, it comes up all the time, but I think it's a fair example. He needs to make a wedding for his daughter. Okay, he really does, and he's trying to make it reasonably, and he's not spending a lot of money on it. Okay? And he needs to collect, you know, 20,000 shekel. I'm just making it up. I don't have 20,000 shekel to give him. He comes to me, he says, I'm making a wedding. So now, how much do I have to give him towards that amount that I can't afford to pay for? So he should give how much he can afford. Now, the Rambam doesn't say, it's got to be, you know, let's say my fiscal tzedakah budget, I think it's okay to do this, works off the tax season. So it's January 1st, you know, the guy comes to me January 1st. Let's say I'm really rich, and my tzedakah budget for next year is 20,000 shekel. Over the course of the year, I'm going to give 20,000 shekel.
Not anymore.
So do you have to give all 20,000 shekel to this guy? I don't think so. But says the Rambam, you don't get out of it because you don't have the amount of money the guy's asking you for. You still have, you know, if it's a reasonable cause and it makes sense and it's a real need, you should contribute towards that in line with your tzedakah budget. So, and again, we won't touch on this later, so it's important to note that it really depends on some level on your connection to the person. There's a general rule of aniye ircha kodem la aniye ir acheret, and that you should be giving more to Chasdei Efrat than to a gemach in Yerushalayim. Not that you shouldn't give to Yerushalayim, but in the choice between. So I really think, you know, a guy on your block and your neighbor, you reach deeper for that person, or you give him a bigger percentage of your tzedakah budget because you're more connected to him. Let's finish the Rambam first before questions. Okay. Now says the Rambam. He paskins like Mr. Weiser, kind of. So he says, how much do you give him? V'kama ad chamishit nechasav mitzvah min hamuvchar. Right? Up to 20% is a mitzvah min hamuvchar. So he doesn't say anything about the 10%. Where does 20% come from? That's the standard for every mitzvah saseh.
Oh, right.
Okay, up to a fifth, right? If you go shopping for Dalet Minim, the halacha is you have to spend up to a fifth. So this doesn't sound like it's a mitzvah of tzedakah, that the standard is unique to tzedakah. It sounds like this is the standard for all mitzvah saseis. Okay, now, one of the questions we'll come to later, but it's an interesting one, is this the way the Rambam says mitzvah min amuvchar, what's your sense? What if I really feel magnanimous?
What's your nephew?
I want to give half of my money. Can I? That's going to be a machlokas. Is this a ceiling? Or here the interesting thing is here it really could depend on how rich you are, and the poskim say this. For a person of limited means, a fifth could be the ceiling, because as we'll see later, we don't want a system in which people give away so much that then now they're on the list of tzedakah. Then they're needy people. We don't want that to ever happen. So for a person who makes $50 million, you know, you give away $25 million, we're not too worried that you're going to land up on the tzedakah list. But for a person, you know, who makes minimum wage, the fifth probably is a max. Okay. Now we're finishing this Rambam, no matter what you say. Then you can talk. Second line. Ve'echad me'asara b'nechasav beinoni. Okay? Mitzvah min amuvchar is a fifth. Standard giving is a tenth. Is 10%. Pachot mikan ayin ra'a. Less than that, you're considered to be a cheapskate. Okay? He doesn't say you don't get the mitzvah. He says, here's the range. And when you say this, it really sounds like it's not d'oraisa. It sounds like this is kind of a standard that we've accepted. The range is a tenth, okay? Really charitable people give a fifth. And cheaper people give less than a tenth. It sounds like everybody does the mitzvah of tzedakah. This is very reminiscent of truma, which basically a 40th is ayin tova, a 50th is standard, you know, and a 60th you're cheap. Okay, so you have this range. Let's finish. Olam lo yimna atzmo mishlishit hashekel bishana. Now, interestingly, we don't really think about this often. The Rambam says there is a minimum that if you don't give, v'chol hanotein pachot mizeh lo kiyein mitzvah. Okay? So now, is that 10 agurot? So I thought to myself, is that if you give less than, what is it again? If you give less than shlishit hashekel bishana, so then, if you only give 10 agurot in the course of a year, or you give 10 shekel in the course of a year, says the Rambam, you didn't get to the mitzvah at all. You know, you think you did the mitzvah, but you didn't get to the mitzvah at all. Okay? So there's, you know, there's like magnanimous, standard, cheap, and something below which you didn't give the mitzvah at all. And now he says, va'afilu ani hamit parnes min hatzdaka, chayav liten tzedaka la'acher. Even a person who's on the list, who takes handouts for himself, has to give tzedaka. Here I think you see both sides of the equation in terms of what type of mitzvah it is. On the one hand, why would a person who gets tzedaka have to give tzedaka? In the quantum of charity being given, doesn't do any good. Because the 10 shekel that he gave away, he's not going to have to collect from tzedakah. So this strikes me as proof of the fact that this is an unconditional mitzvah. Just like you could borrow money to buy a lulav, you borrow money to do the mitzvah tzedakah. But from the fact that the Rambam says there's a minimum amount, that's again formal. From the fact that the Rambam then talks about, you know, magnanimous and standard, whatever, it strikes me that both things are true. It's formal, unconditional, but it's also conditional in the sense that it depends on people's needs and it depends on how much money you have, etc. Now, Bruce, you wanted to ask a question?
Yeah, because we're always talking about cash. There are people with lots of stuff, but they're cash poor. So is it okay to offer someone something of value but not cash, and that satisfies the mitzvah?
Of course. We'll come to that in a second, but absolutely. In fact, it might even be better. As my famous story from 2 weeks ago,
that was like giving the guy
when
lunch,
I gave the bar of soap to the guy in Morningside Heights, who told me he needs money for soap, even though he probably didn't need money for soap.
You made it easier for him. You gave him this, what he needs.
I think it's just the thing he says.
Right.
Wasn't a cigarette and six bottles.
Not a soap box. It was Ivory Snow, 99 and 44 100 pure.
Yeah.
Okay.
so you're not you're prevented from giving them
right.
The anybody ready? Now. Yes. Now. Let's look at how the Shulchan Aruch Haskins in terms of amounts of stuff, how much you're supposed to give. And we'll see it's almost word for word the Rambam. Here's the Mechaber in Yoredeya Simon Reish Mem Tes. It's chock full of almost everything we're going to do now is Yoredeya Reish Mem Tes. It has all the good stock of stuff in it. Says the Mechaber, Shir Nitinata, how much do you have to give? Im Yadom Maseget Yitain Kefit Tzorech Ha'aniim. In the perfect world, the most lechatchilat stock possible is you give the guy exactly what he asks you for. Okay, he needs, you know, exactly 120 shekel to buy this thing, which is a real need. You give him 120 shekel. That is the most, the greatest form of, well, that is lechatchilat staka. V'im ein yadol maseget kol kach, you can't afford it. Yitain ad chomesh nechasav. Okay, then you give up to a fifth. That's a mitzvah min amuvchar. Ve'achad me'asara, tenth, mida beinonit, that's in between. Pachot mikan ayin ra'ah. Now, the question was a fifth, a tenth, whatever, from what? Okay, assets or income? So here it comes. Says the Mechaber in the third line, V'chomesh zeh she'amru, this fifth, shana rishona mehakeren. It's hard to know exactly, literally it means the first year. So I don't know if it means, you know, the first year that you have money, but the initial year you give from the principal, okay? You have $100,000, so you want to be really, really charitable, you give $20,000 to tzedakah. Subsequent years, mikan ve'elach chomesh sheharevach b'chol shana. After that, you're giving off of your income, not off of the principal. Now again, I admit to you, I just didn't have time to check. I don't know what that means, like the first year that you give off the principal. The first year, you know, if you went from zero to something, it's your principal is all income. So I'm not sure exactly, you know. But the bottom line is, the standard is off of your income. And I think halacha lemaisa, it's off of your net income. Because I think we think you just, you know, you made $100,000, but you never got $100,000. You know, it's almost, it's funny, it's easier if you live in a regime where there's withholding. Because right. Then you really never got the money, right? If you have a job where you get all the money, and at the end of the year you have to pay taxes on it, it feels worse, right? It's better if you know, because then your gross and your net is really really the same, because you only got, you know, only the net came to you, so of course you can only give tzedakah off the net. Okay, the Ramah. Now the Ramah. Remember we asked the question, is 20%, is it the ceiling, or is it just that's like magnanimous? So the Ramah says, Va'al yivazvei zadam yoter michomesh, but then he gives the reason, Shalo yitztarech labriot. Don't give more than, don't give more than 20%. Why not? Sha'az yitztarech labriot. So again, I don't think Warren Buffett, if he gives away 50% of his income this year, is going to be close to being Yitztarech Labriot. So that's why I think that the practical answer that you get when you ask this question is people of limited means should not exceed a fifth in that tzedakah, because it's almost irrational to do that, to put yourself at risk, to put your kids at risk. You know, your primary responsibility is to your family. But, you know, if you're making massive amounts of money, then there's absolutely no problem, you know, if what's left over puts you in the 1%. I'm making that up. But, you know, after you give 50% of your income to tzedakah, you're still making in the top whatever. So I think the Rama would say, go ahead. Really so.
Well, it's interesting the word that he uses, give God's best.
Yeah.
Squander. Like, it seems totally out of place.
Except that when he's saying it in the negative. Right? For a poor person to give, you know, more than 20%, he thinks it's a bizbuz.
Yeah.
Now, would he claim it's not staka? I don't know. But he's pretty, you know, there's a pretty clear statement. Don't, because. And if the because doesn't apply, then presumably you can. Now, in case you're thinking about, you know, your will, he says as follows. V'davka kol yimei chayav. When I say don't give away more than 20%, that's when you're living. Aval bishat moto, yachol adam litein tzedakah kol ma sheyirtzeh. Interesting. Says the Ramah, you know, you don't have to save it all.
Your whole Islam doesn't give a penny to doctor. It leaves money after debt.
Yeah.
In his will.
Let's say $100,000 for this.
Right.
$100,000 for this.
No, it doesn't fix.
It's a chazak.
It doesn't fix the fact that you didn't.
All the debt, domestic and animal. Give
Okay.
Chazak, the only way after.
Okay. Look. If you give away all your money at the end of your life and you never gave any money during life, it doesn't, you know, it's a nice thing. It doesn't fix it. It's like you took lulav 100 times one day. Your whole life you didn't do it. Now, I never put on tefillin. Now I spend one day take my tefillin on and off all day long. It doesn't fix what came before, but it's a...
It's a chazak.
Okay. Okay, I'm as angry at the guy as you are, whoever he is.
Who is this guy? Yeah.
I don't like him. I don't like him either.
I know somebody.
Okay. Let's not say his name. By the way, I know him also. Okay. Ve'ein la'asot mi ma'aser shalo dvar mitzvah. Here's a hard line. You're not supposed to do mitzvahs with your tzedakah money. Kigo neirot lebeit hakneset o shar dvar mitzvah. Rak yitnenu la'aniyim. Right? You might cheat and say, well, I'll buy tefillin with my, you know. Tzedakah money means to be used for mitzvahs. So the halach is no. It doesn't count to buy dalad minim, to buy a lulav with tzedakah money. He says that's not an appropriate, you know, tzedakah money is for aniyim, not for mitzvah purposes.
It also could be problematic because people could think that their tzedakah money should go to institutional use, like supporting a bet sefer or...
Yeah, but he thinks it could. We'll get there.
Hospital.
We'll get there. But that, in fact, that is a proper use of tzedakah for the most part. You'll see.
Okay, but it doesn't sound like honey.
It doesn't. It's true. And there is a certain feeling of satisfaction to give to a poor person as opposed to giving to a, you know, to an institution. But they all kasu tzedakah. One of my greatest frustrations, just to rant for a second, Mr. Weiser gets to rant, I get to rant. You know, when some Jew gives, you know, $100 million to the Met, right? You know, or to Harvard, or to the MoMA, it's infuriating. Like, you know what we could do with that money? You real stuck on that? Great, you got your name on it. So the truth is the Jew who just gave massive amounts of money to the MoMA also donated billions of dollars to the federal government to settle, you know, the criminal charges against him.
Paternity suits.
It's true. No. When you donate money to the federal government, it's... You know, it's not a form of tzedakah, even though bizarrely it is tax deductible. Okay. Anyway, that burns me up, and I don't know. You know, that's a good question. Does the MoMA constitute a tzedakah? Does Harvard, who has an endowment larger than most countries in the world, it constitutes a tzedakah? I doubt it.
You have the problem in many areas. I have a problem in Hafnas's color, for example.
Yeah.
I tell people I didn't get married until I could afford to get married.
But the fact that that's true doesn't make it not a tzedakah.
No, but I mean, I understand the mitzvah. I say it every morning. It was the vorev shein lahem.
Good
here.
No way hachnasas kala is not a mitzvah tzedakah. Again, you could argue that having if the guy's gonna have a 12-piece band at the wedding, that's not a good use of your money. But hachnasas kala as a category is of course a mitzvah tzedakah.
Bubbling chocolate fountains, which I've seen bubbling chocolate fountains.
Yeah, the ice sculpture. Yeah, you can't get married than an ice sculpture.
But that's for mitzvahs.
I give the money to Ariel University to establish a medical school.
Yes. So I assume that is a tzedakah.
That's tzedakah?
But
maybe
let's,
not according to the definition.
Okay,
we'll get there.
Let's try to make some progress. Okay. Let's go to Si'if Bet of that same Simon. We're still in Reish Mem Tes. This is what we saw in the Rambam, the minimum amount. La'olam lo yimna adam atzmo pachot mishlishit hashekel l'shana. I don't know how much that is. It's a minimal amount. Vim natan pachot mizeh lo kiyeh mitzvah tzedakah. Okay. Now, Si'if Gimel, this really is one of the hardest things. It's a sad result of the world we live in. This is halacha. Sarich litein hatzdaka b'sever panim yafod. You're supposed to give money happily. Bisimcha uvetuv levav. You're supposed to feel like, we'll get to this at the end if we have time, you're supposed to feel godlike. You know, God said that I'm making a world with poor people, fix it. You're supposed to feel that way. Umit onenim ha'ani bitza'aro umidaber lo divrei tanchumin. And you speak to him and you support him and you make him feel good. You know, I'm so sorry that you've fallen on hard times. I'm so sorry that you have an illness in your family. Things we never do.
I don't give to them. Why should I give to you?
Ve'im natna bepanim zo'afot v'ra'ot hifsid zechuto. If you give it grudgingly and with anger, then you lost your zchus of giving tzedakah. Here you start getting to the first hint that tzedakah is not limited to what we think it is. It's not just a monetary mitzvah, and it's not even primarily a monetary mitzvah. It's a support mechanism. And sometimes you can support people by a good attitude and by a good word and by telling them you're sure we'll turn around.
I like
that. You know? So, just the world we live in, it's sad that I think most people, me being on that list, give tzedakah grudgingly with the sense that probably he doesn't need it, and if he worked hard, if he went to college, and you know, the answer is, it's not the way he's supposed to give tzedakah, and the Mechaber says that that's the wrong thing to do. We have to, I think, all of us have to find ways to give happily. Really. So...
Till it hurts?
I have, what?
Till it hurts?
No, I didn't say anything about till it hurts. A tenth shouldn't hurt. Maybe even a fifth shouldn't hurt. Who knows?
Well, that's what his...
I have some suggestions, but well, let's... Here we go. Go to Sif Dalit. This happens also. Im sha'al lo he'ani ve'en lo mayite lo. Okay? This happened to me recently. I was in shul. I didn't take my wallet in the morning. A guy came in. He really seemed to be legit. You know, but I didn't have any money. So, lo yigarbo v'yagbia kolo alav. Don't yell at him. Don't get angry at him because he asked you for tzedakah. Elo yifaisenu bidvarim. You know, say nice things to him. V'yireli bo hatov shiritzono liten lo. Elo she'en yado maseget. Say, I would really love to give you. If I could, I would. I just can't. Okay, now, here's a strange halacha. I don't even know how to do this. Says the Ramah. Va'asur lehachzir he'ani hashoel reikam. You can never turn away a needy person with nothing. Afilu ein noten lo rak grogeret achat. You just give him crumbs. I don't know. Shenemar al yoshuv dach nichlam. Don't turn him away. So I don't know.
Isn't giving him... I'm sorry to interrupt, but isn't giving him kind words in a way giving him something?
Maybe. Maybe the Ramah's adding to it. I think the Ramah's saying...
You'll say this also.
Guy comes and he's collecting for a wedding and he needs it and you give him a shekel.
Yeah.
You know, I worry, isn't that insulting? It. Mm-hmm. The Ramah thinks you should fight. I'll tell you what you can do. You have no money.
What kind of a wedding does he want to make?
You have
asking for an invitation.
You have no money.
Right.
When the guy comes to your house, offer him a drink. Offer him a cookie. I think the Ramah would say there's always something you could offer him
he's also
to make him feel better.
Bad, not only just monetarily, he's also,
I think.
Yeah.
Now, a person goes from door to door and he goes to collect it. Daughter. So, door to door, he give him a dollar. He's $20,000. I don't know what it is.
Right.
It helps towards the total.
But he got, we know them. I give him a dollar. He goes from door to door. He makes
$20,000.
Okay, good. So give him a dollar. Sif hey. Im yachol. Huh?
We don't have to give him more.
I don't know.
If he goes from door to door, he's collecting.
I don't know.
He's
not going to kill.
He's on the van for months.
Okay, we're not dealing with that.
If
hey, im yachol la'asod la'acherim sheyitnu, schara gadol mischar hanotein. What if you can raise money? A guy comes to you. He's completely legit. You believe him. You say, listen, I can't give you all the money you need, but I have a bunch of rich friends, you know, and I can call them up. And I'll get them to... By the way, that's the best form. I know it for myself, and I've done it also. Some I've been lucky enough to do it. Like a guy in yeshiva. Here's just easy cases. A guy in yeshiva, he's wheelchair bound, okay? And somebody, he needed a new wheelchair for the winter because he can't go out in bad weather. It doesn't. He has like an electric thing, whatever. There's no doubt in your mind that this is a worthwhile cause, you know. So somebody came to me. I said I couldn't pay for the whole thing. It's very, very expensive. But I'll call up my friends. You know, I have friends in America. They look to give tzedakah, and they want to give to worthwhile causes. Nothing better than getting an email from somebody you trust saying, there's a guy, he can't walk, he needs a fancy electric wheelchair, it costs 20,000 shekel. You know, I want to raise all the money. And people send checks, and and says the mechaber, that's a form of tzedakah. And, you know, it also works to counteract the extremely negative sense we have towards tzedakah, because it happens when people knock on the door and you don't trust them, right? To be able to give when you know that it's a real need, and you know, and you believe in the cause, nothing could be better than that. Now, let's do now the famous Rambam has 8 levels of giving. It's famous. It's expanded on Shulchan Aruch. So we're doing the Shulchan Aruch. Let's get a sense for what tzedakah is by doing the Rambam's 8 levels. Okay? So we're in Se'if Vav, the second to bottom paragraph on the page. Says the Mechaber, taking it from the Rambam, Shmona ma'alot yesh b'tzedakah, zo l'mala mizo. There are 8 levels of giving of tzedakah in descending order. First, ma'ala ha'gdola she'en l'ma'ala mimena, the highest level, ha'machzik b'yad Yisrael ha'mach. A person who supports somebody who's failing. Now you'll see there's a range of ways to support. Vinotein lo matana, he gives him a gift. O halva'a, right? We think the best form of tzedakah is giving money. Says the Rambam, alone sometimes is as good as or better than an outright, you know, tzedakah gift. O ses shutfut, or he has a business, he takes the guy in as his partner. O mamtzi lo melacha kidei lechazek yado shelo yitztarech libriot velo yishal. Or he finds him a job, he helps him find a job so that the guy won't have to collect money. The Rambam, the highest level, says the Rambam, is not necessarily writing a check. It's helping the person.
Teaching him how to fish.
The Rambam assumes, correct, teaching him how to fish. The Rambam assumes that nobody wants to go door to door. And I'm sorry to say, we should consider the fact that people really don't want to go door to door. It's unpleasant and it's painful. Okay? The Rambam says anything you can do to get this guy back on his feet, sometimes it's writing a check, sometimes it's a loan, but sometimes it's finding him a job, taking him into your business, right? Imagine the highest level of tzedakah, says the Rambam, in most cases doesn't involve writing a check. It involves making a phone call. Right? This guy, he's outgoing. And you think he'd make a good salesman. You call your friend. Got a guy, you want to take a chance, you know, a shot for making him a salesman. Says the Rambam, that's the highest level of tzedakah. It's helping the person get back on his feet. It's not necessarily, okay? So just, I think we don't normally think in these terms. And the Rambam is very clear here. That's the first level. Next, Siv Zayin, bottom paragraph. Pachot mizeh. You give to Chasdei Efrat because you really believe that they're out there finding the poor people in the community. You give to the rabbi's discretionary fund, you know, because he knows who in the shul can't afford chicken for Shabbos. And it doesn't embarrass the recipient because... So the poor person isn't embarrassed because he doesn't know. Vikarov lezeh hanoten lekupa shel tzedakah. He says, right, giving anonymously, you just give to tzedakah. V'lo yitein adam lekupa shel tzedakah elim ken yodea shehamemuneh aleha ne'eman v'yodea linhog bo kishura. It means, you know, you want to be able to trust the fund that you're giving to, that it's really, you know, there used to be in YU this person who would come and everybody loved him. He was a tzaddik, and he said, you know, I have a list of 100 poor people. I will give them the money, 100% of the money, on Purim. everybody gave money. Mm-hmm. You know, you gave tons of money because you felt like this was, you know, my brother collects for poor families in Brooklyn. You know, he gives 100% of the money, and you know he's giving it to people who are poor. And so, and there's no embarrassment there. I'll tell you, somebody made this suggestion to me once. If you want to give like amazing tzedakah and feel good about it, go to the whatever makolet before Purim that you use and say to them, who can pay their bill? You know, everybody has like a running tab at the makolet. And just knock off money from their bill. The people will never know, right? And you know, the people who can't pay their makolet bill, they're struggling. And the makolet people know this also.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm saying, there are ways. One of the things we have to do is get back to enjoying giving tzedakah and feeling good about it. And I know for myself, when you give to a real cause that you really believe in and you feel like there's a real need, so, you know, one of the ways to do that is just going to pay people's bills, and you never know whose bill you're paying. The Rambam thinks is, you know, is as high as it gets. Because, you really feel saintly in that you don't know who it is. Okay? That's the second level. Next. Pachot mizeh. Siv chet. She yodea hanotein leminotein. V'lo yodea ha'ani mimi lokeach. Okay, sometimes the rabbi comes to you and he says, this person is really in trouble. So fine. They don't know that you gave. So, again, the Rambam's assumption is that it's embarrassing to take a handout. And when you meet the person and he knows that you're supporting him, you feel a sense of obligation, you feel a sense of imbalance in your relationship. It's true. So you should try to avoid that. Kigon gidolei hachachamim shayu olchim b'seter u'mashlichim ha'ma'ot b'pitchei ha'aniyim. Right? You always read these stories about gidolim who would go at 5 in the morning on Friday and, you know, leave chickens in front of the person's house, and the person never knew. Okay? That's the next level. This is a good thing to do if you don't trust the local tzedakah. Right? So you do it yourself. Next. Pachot mizeh. Sheyodeh ha'ani mininotel. Okay, the poor person knows who's supporting him. V'lo yadah ha'notein leminotein. So I don't know exactly how that would work.
Yeah.
How you could give, but you don't know who you're giving to, but the poor person knows. Maybe the answer is the poor person is supported by Chasdei Efrat, and Chasdei Efrat sends out a list every year of their major donors. So you, the poor person. You, the poor. Okay. I don't know. I'm struggling to get it.
Okay.
Oh, here it is. Tzorim hama'ot b'stinehem u'mashlichim otam la'ach. They would take cash, you know. Yeah. And at the end of shul, leave it on the bima, and say whoever wants, you know, ubaim haniim v'notlim kidei shelo yulahem busha. So the aniim know that you're the person who left the money on the bima, but you don't know who took the money. Again, he's trying to avoid a situation where both of you know the truth of
the
situation.
Group of people start leaving.
That could also be.
We have a pushka.
Okay, sif yud pachot mizeh sheyitein lani biyado kodem sheyishal. He doesn't, you know. I suppose a guy knocks on your door. You go, do you need money? It's a little weird, but it's if you could give without the person asking, that's better. And I suppose in a situation where you know a person on your block, you know that they're, and you say, you know, I have extra money. Could I help?
How come we know the guy with the certain attire knocks on and you look out your window?
Pachot mizeh sheyitein lo kera'uy achar sheyishal. You give him what he needs after he asks. Pachot mizeh. But b'sefer panim yafot, meaning you can't afford to pay for the whole thing, you happily give him what makes sense to you. Pachot mizeh, last one, sheyitein lo be'etzev, right? It's still a mitzvah, but you give him grudgingly. Says the Rama, va'al kol panim lo yitpa'er ha'adam b'tzedakah shenotein. You should not walk around like, you know, I'm such a great person because I gave tzedakah, right? I don't know if that means you can't have your name on a plaque. I don't think that that's true. I think that it helps for other people to give tzedakah. But the Rama says tzedakah is not a vehicle for your self-worth to feel, you know, what a good person you are. Ve'im mitpa'er, this is angry stuff. And if you do that, lo dai she'eino mekabel sachar, it's not enough that you're not going to be rewarded. Elo afilu ma'anishim oto aleha. Okay, now, It could be that what it really means is you're mitpa'er to the person. You know, when you get to shul, you go, hey, you know, shouldn't you get up for me and give me your seat? I'm supporting you. Right? I don't know exactly, but that, you know, that's just vile behavior. Now, listen to this. Umikom bakom. Mishem makdish davar litzdaka. This is the plaque, halacha. Mutar lo sheyichtov shmo alav sheyehelo lezikaron v'ra'uy la'asot kein. He quotes a Rashba who says it's appropriate to have your name, either because it's le'ilu nishmas, but I think, and I, you know, when I was very involved in this in America, like, you know, the school that I was involved in, so people said, you know, you shouldn't publicize who gives, right? There's the annual campaign, the dinner campaign. But the answer is, the more you publicize, the more people give.
Yeah.
It's just, it's human nature.
It's supposed to
good. So the Rama says it's completely appropriate. So on the one hand, he says don't be mitpa'er. That's a vile thing to do. On the other hand, he says, you know, it's appropriate to recognize people who give tzedakah, either because it gets other people to give, or because there's nothing
even
wrong with it.
Even if somebody gets a dukkah because he wants to have.
Okay, I assume the difference is the plaque doesn't say, you know, Eli Weber gave 100 shekel to Frank Peters, which would be humiliating to Frank. He's on the plaque as a recipient of tzedakah.
Yeah.
If you don't do that, you're not being mitpa'er. Okay, now, the question of who's a poor person. So it's too complicated and it was too long, I didn't put it here. But if you look in Reish Nun Gimel, in Yoredeya, in Sif Aleph, there were actual monetary standards, you know, and land ownership. There was an attempt early on to have an objective standard for what a poor person was. Okay, presumably there wasn't the type of range in incomes that we have now, and people worked in similar businesses. Don't know. There was an attempt that was made, and it exists in Shulchan Aruch. But then comes Sif Bet, and this is the sad but true fact. Says the Mechaber, Yesh omrim shalom ne'emru hashirim halalu ela bimehem. That effort to establish standards for what a poor person and what a poor person isn't, that was in those days. Aval bizman hazeh yachol litol ad sheyihyeh lo keren kidei sheyitparnes hu ubnei beito meharevach udvarim shel tamhein. You're not going to like this. Says the Mechaber, it could be that the standard for poverty is the guy can collect money until he has enough money to live off, meaning not the principal but the income or the interest. He gets enough money to invest in a business, you know, which is not dirt poor, and it's not a sustenance level. It's really to get a guy back on his feet. And, you know, when you put it all together, there's a certain truth emerges, which is tzedakah is getting a guy back on his feet. The best form of tzedakah. It's true that you could do the mitzvah of tzedakah by buying him dinner. And that's probably a great feeling to do it. But the mitzvah of tzedakah is finding a way to get him back on his feet. And if you assume, like the Rambam did, that everybody really wants to be self-sufficient, and it's not a time to pick on other people. The Rambam believed that. The Rambam knew it in his own life. The Rambam lived off handouts for a long time. There were handouts from his brother.
Right.
And he had a deal with his brother.
Right.
You know, the Rambam only became a doctor because he didn't want to be supported by the community. Mm-hmm. So I think the Rambam really felt, and I have to say, again, in Israel, I don't discuss politics, but I think most people on their own want to be self-sufficient. They do not enjoy going door to door at night in Efrat. That's my gut feeling. And the Rambam thinks, now, maybe, you know, not all of us have it within us to support everybody, but the Rambam thinks the approach to tzedakah should be, how can I help this person? It's true, it could be the only way to help this person is buy him dinner. But if there's a better way, if there's suggestions, if there's support you could give him, that's the highest level. Yes?
When I grew up, I mean, I came home from Cheder,
right,
around 1 o'clock. By lunchtime,
yeah.
So in Europe they have lunch, always when one or two Schnorrers.
Okay.
That was sitting in the clutch with my mother, the Vetter. Vetter.
So what a great Vetter. Thing.
Uncle.
What a great thing. Okay.
My mother used to make chicken. They used to send us over to put up the door.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
they never know who this is.
We really are, right?
I can tell you,
we're really we're losing that,
and she's still burned. She was burned in Auschwitz. Yeah. I guess.
Okay, okay, we're really losing that. You know, that beautiful level of Stucka that you recall. It just you know, it doesn't happen that often.
Helping you maintain a lifestyle. Right. You pay his mortgage so that he doesn't lose the house.
Right, that's the hechazak davar. It's true. A guy who's going to lose his house for a mortgage payment, even though he has money, that's definitely a form of tzedakah. Because, you know, the idea is a little bit now helps him hold on to his business. If not, he's going to become, you know, he's going to go on the needy list. Right. So you can give tzedakah to people who have real money to help them make payments on something. Let's just do the last thing, because it's a nice idea. It's a great Gemara. Gemara in Baba Basra, Yunamad Aleph, which touches on some of the issues we've discussed, and just touches on tzedakah in general. Says the Gemara, V'zo sha'ala, sha'al Turnus Rufus HaRasha Rabbi Akiva. Turnus Rufus HaRasha had this ongoing dialogue with Rabbi Akiva. He was obviously a bad guy, given the name HaRasha. Yeah. Right? He must have been brothers with Haman. There aren't that many people named HaRasha. So as follows. He says as follows. Im ohev aniim hu. If your God loves poor people, well, why doesn't he give them a handout? Amalei, so Rabbi Akiva says back to him, kidei shenitzol anu bahen midina shel gehenom. Rabbi Akiva says, to give us the schus, right? It allows us to support them. Now, amalei adraba, zo shemechayav tam legehenem. So Turnus Rufus says, no, God made them poor, and you're ki'ilu paskening against God, you're going to be punished for supporting these poor people. Okay, so watch what happens. It's a great mashal. Says Rabbi Kiva, em sholecha mashal, I'll give you a parable. L'maha davar domeh, what we're talking about. L'melech basar vadam, there's a king, sheka'as al avado, he got angry at his servant, v'chavsho b'veita asurim, he puts him in jail, v'tziva alav shelo l'ha'achilo v'lo l'hashkoto, and he says, I don't want this person fed or given drink. V'halach adam echad v'ha'achilo v'hishkehu, a person goes against the king's wishes and gives the guy lunch and gives him a drink. Kisheshama hamelech lo koei solav. When the king hears, won't he be angry? So that Turnus Rufus is saying to Rabbi Akiva, when you support poor people, you're operating against the express desire of God, who ki'ilu made them poor. And Rabbi Akiva says, and then Turnus Rufus says, he's a big Talmud Chacham, vatem kruyim avadim. You're called avadim. Shenemar ki li b'nei sol avadim. Okay, Amalo Rabbi Akiva, third line from the end. Emsho lecha mashal lemaha davar domeh. It's a beautiful idea. Lemelech basar vadam shekaas al bino. This time it's not the servant. The king is angry at his son, the prince. V'chavsho beveita asurim, and he locks him up in jail. V'tziva alav shelo lahachilo v'shelo lahashkoto, and he says, "Don't feed him." You know, it's part of the punishment. Don't give him drink. Don't feed him. V'halach adam echad v'ha'echilo v'hishkehu, and a person against ki'ilu, quote unquote, the king's desire, feeds the son. Kisheshama hamelech lo doron mishagerlo, doesn't he reward the person who fed his son, even though he claimed to not want it? It's his son. V'anu kruyim banim, and we are called banim. Tichsiv banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. Says Rabbi Akiva, God creates poor people, but God wants us to love poor people like he does, and God wants us to support them. And, you know, the idea that there'll always be poor people in the world, on the one hand, like, it bothers us because they're a means to an end, like, but on the other hand, you know, a society that doesn't give tzedakah is a corrupt society. Even if there's no one of need, it sounds like tzedakah, God created a world in which the obligation to give tzedakah would always exist, because people need outlets to do good deeds. And you know, there are two ways to look at it. A person is poor because, you know, somehow, God forbid, he deserves to be poor. Or a person is poor because that presents opportunities for people like us. You know, I don't know the answer to that, but I know that staka is fundamental to the type of world, right? When the Torah says, you know, kivo yachdal avyon mikarev haaretz, it's saying God intentionally created an imperfect world. And he created an imperfect world so that we could perfect it. And, you know, the trick to staka is to think of it as doing God's work in the world, instead of the way most of us think about it, as a burden, to think about, you know, how amazing it is that we have an opportunity to do these things, and that we can do it, you know, and support people and feel like we're being godlike.
Can a loan be considered tzedakah?
Absolutely. It's the highest level, says the Rambam. Because the person...
You gotta pay it back.
So what? When I need money and you give me a loan, I don't feel like a second-class citizen. You lend me money, I'm going to pay it back to you. That's much, you know, again...
Or not. That's
we,
the
risk. You know, we keep thinking that it's just the money that, you know, the more that the relationship between me and the poor person is this, the greater the mitzvah is. Says the Rambam, the more the relationship is this, is an even relationship. He doesn't feel indebted to me. He doesn't feel obligated. He doesn't feel like a second-class citizen. That's staka. Okay, did my best. Have a great day.
If you support married children or elderly parents or make your nephew's wedding, is that all tzedakah?
Your nephew's wedding for sure. Because yeah. You're not obligated to make a nephew's
right.
wedding. There's a debate at past what age, right? Little kids is
not for sure. Do about married children?
Probably yes.
It's like tzedakah.
There's real discussion. Arguably yes.
And you think elderly parents in that category also? Because people's tzedakah potential is limited. They could use it on their own family.
I assume.
Or they have an obligation to those things. Not part of tzedakah. That was the right. question. Are you here next week? Okay.